Hey guys, I just wanted to take a second and address some questions that have come my way about the future of precision. Short answer, precision is not going anywhere. In fact, we are working really hard to develop even more workshop and clinic topics to help athletes, coaches, and judges progress. So while you may have heard me say that we are on our last summer of precision camps, that doesn't mean that we are at our last season of precision. So what does that mean for camps? Well, instead of doing our typical summer series of between 6 and 8 summer camps between June and August, we will be offering fewer but bigger camps so that we can provide more workshops and clinics. If you're curious about what those workshops and clinics are, go check out precisioncoreo.com and especially go to the registration page and you can see events that are currently happening that you can jump in on. If you are a gym that wants to host one of the few summer camps we will be putting on in summer 2023, please reach out to me at precisioncoreo@gmail.com and let me know that you're interested. All right, let's get back to the show.
Hi guys, I'm Rosanna. Thank you for coming to our show. This is Bonham, my brother.
Are you guys ready for another mini-sode?
Thank you, mini hosts, and welcome to a mini-sode of What Makes You Think. I'm your host, Nicole Langevin, and my guest today is a U.S. elite coach who has coached such athletes as Caitlin Smith, Levi Young Ruivavar, and currently Shailese Jones. I caught up with her prior to the Paris World Cup, so you won't hear us talk about that, unfortunately. But don't worry, there's plenty of stuff in here to keep you engaged over the next 25-ish minutes. All right, here we go. Sarah Korngold, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you after all these years. I mean, it still hasn't been in person for a while, but it's nice to see you and talk.
It's great to see you. I mean, you were one of the first people I ever met when I moved to the U.S. and started working. So it's been a long time.
Oh, that's so crazy. Yeah, the gymnastics world is a crazy place. And for our listeners, Sarah and I met, I don't even know what year it was, but we coached in the same area in Southern California for quite a bit. You originally, though, are from what part of Canada?
I'm from Southwestern Ontario. So the biggest city people would know is Toronto.
Okay. And then to California and now over to Washington. Was there anything in between that I'm missing?
Nope. I think that's right. That's facts.
All right. And I remember the first time that I don't even know if we had talked or officially met yet, but it was 2000 and something at a TOPS testing. And you showed up with this army of just rock star top kids that I had never seen before at these TOPS. I don't know what you guys did that year, but you showed up with this army of kids that were happy and super strong and killing the testing. And I was like, what is happening over there? And then since then, I was just able to watch you develop athlete after athlete and grow your programs. And we all know you had some wonderful athletes train under you, and you still do. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about today. That's cool.
Very cool. Well, we met in 2008, and I actually used to watch your kids on YouTube to learn the compulsory routines because your athletes did them so well and so clean. And I was like, I have to like figure this out because we didn't have that in Canada. So I literally watched your kids on YouTube, and that's how I learned the routines.
Oh
my gosh. And the pretty white leotards, and I loved them. And so, yeah, that's my first memory of you.
Oh, that makes me so happy. So I know you've listened to the show. Your club, Ascend Gymnastics, has actually been mentioned because we do work with Tumble Track and the Porcupine Pad. And so congratulations on Club of the Year. And that seemed to happen kind of quick. Like you haven't been there very long. And then it was just like, boom, look at this amazingness from the Facebook groups that you have and the program that you're running. So what do you attribute that quick success to, or was it not as quick as maybe it seems from the outside?
It was pretty quick. I think number one, we have to give credit to like Brent and Lauren and Chris, who have been at that gym for a minute, right? And they have kind of developed a group of athletes who really were open to learning and had growth mindset, and they kind of really bought in hard to any changes or suggestions that we had. The kids, we were so fortunate to walk into a group of kids that just want to learn. We were talking last night in the car on the way home. They're eager learners. Like they want to get better. They want to buy in. They just want to please. I work very closely with Brett Wargo. And, you know, you think you're going to work well with someone and you think it's going to be a good fit, but you never really know. And it's just been a great fit. And it's good in that we both push each other to be better. We respect each other enough that we can be completely honest with each other, whether it's good or like, hey, Sarah, you need to do better at this. Like, what are you thinking? You know, like we can talk to each other that way. And we ultimately just want what's best for the kids and what's best for the program. And that's really worked out well. But we have such a great staff around us that just wants to get on board and just do good things. It's been a whirlwind and it has been fast, but it's been really, really cool. So I got there September 2019. But then we closed COVID for quite a while. And then Brett got there September 2020. So about 2.5, 3 years of grinding for me and 2 for Brett.
Mm-hmm. And you guys use a lot of mats sometimes.
Brett uses, you know what? We all use a lot of mats, but Brett uses all the mats. He thinks it's the best. All the mats. Hashtag all the mats right now, guys.
Hashtag all the mats. And now, do you guys just have like a think tank of drills? Because anybody that follows Developmental Gymnastics, your Facebook group, or Ascend Gymnastics or Best Darn Gymnastics, all of that stuff, sees the tremendous amount of wonderful drills that you guys have. Is that something that you guys are constantly developing, or is it that these four or five coaches have come together just with all these ideas already?
It's a bit of both, right? I've been so fortunate to be able to work with a lot of great coaches and they all have different drills and ideas. And so I like to be able to share that because not everybody has those opportunities. But also part of coaching is being able to get curious and solve problems for certain kids, right? Like I can teach 10 kids this way and the 11th kid needs a different outlook or a different perspective. So being able to get curious and kind of help solve their problems or help someone who thinks differently work through the issue. Brett loves to be creative. Last night we were driving home from work and he wants to build this thing with the sliders. And I was like, oh, you're gonna have to draw that. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, but he loves to be creative. So it's not so much like if you walked into our gym, you wouldn't see us doing all those drills every single day. Right. But those drills came about because one kid was struggling and wasn't getting it. And so we had to get creative and find a solution for that. And that's kind of where that came from. And then we kind of just asked some of our other coaching friends that do great gymnastics and have great happy kids and like, hey, what are you guys doing in your gym to make stuff work? And that's kind of how it came about.
So speaking of happy kids, you've been in the elite world for quite a while and you've experienced different multiple organizational changes, some longer than others. What do you feel like is really happening now as far as the happiness of the athletes, the wellness of the athletes? Do you feel like there is a change from maybe when you first entered that elite world back in, again, 2000 something?
Yeah. So when I first entered the elite world, I entered purely at the developmental camp level. So I never worked directly under MARTA and I never was in that kind of system. I started with Valeri. So I can't speak, you know, with full knowledge of like that highest tier, but like this year at championships on the floor, those kids were laughing, they were dancing, they were doing the Lion King. Like, I don't feel like that's something we would have ever seen before. And so I would like to think that that's because they feel like they can be more free and more happy and more authentic. And I think most kids compete better when they're light and they're enjoying what they're doing. And so I think that's super great. I know at national team camps, they've been bringing in experts, nutritionists and sports therapists and sports psychs and giving the girls access to that and actually scheduling time out of workout to sit down and talk with these people. And I don't think that that's really been done as much in the past. And so I like that that's a little more whole, athlete-centered, more human-based, you know, not just results-oriented. So I think that that's really moving in the right direction. And then, you know, I'm working with an older athlete right now. So really just trying to allow her to have autonomy and make decisions and just helping guide smart decisions and that thing. And I think a lot of the athletes are older and more coaches are trying to operate under that mechanism as well.
Mm-hmm. So Lynn, let's talk about the pink elephant in the room. So you're coaching Shailese currently, one of the best gymnasts in the country, if not the world. And how has taking in an athlete who has already achieved that level of greatness and is older, as you said, how has that changed your approach or has that just fit into your approach anyway?
I think where I am as a coach now, it works really well. I shouldn't say this. I'm not a huge numbers person, you know, like let's get our stuff done. Let's get our work done. Let's be efficient. Brett and I, Ascend, we really want it to be athlete driven gymnastics. They're supposed to be doing it because they love it, right? They're supposed to be learning life skills through gymnastics. And so allowing them to make choices and allowing them to, you know, learn how to speak up and advocate for themselves and communicate and all those things, right? And so that's what we're trying to teach all of our athletes. So then to have an adult walk into your program and do that, you know, we were already kind of trying to model that behavior. So then getting to see it work, I guess we could say it's working at the highest level is very, very cool. And so one, having an athlete of that caliber walk into the gym, it's a different kind of pressure. It's definitely a different kind of pressure as a coach, because you just want to do right by her and make sure that she reaches everything she wants to reach. But it's very cool for the younger kids and the kids under her to get to watch that and get to watch her communicate. And, you know, how does she handle great days? How does she handle tough days? How does she handle setbacks? What happens when she has a great meet? How does she come back into the gym and attack it the next day? Right. So it's very cool for them to get to see that. And it's very cool to get to be a part of it. And I feel very, very fortunate to get to be a part of it.
I feel very fortunate to watch it. Championships was so incredible to just see her have her moment. I know day two didn't go exactly, you know, everybody wanted, but you know, where are we? It was in September or August. A freaking blur. For so long, I couldn't see past August, and now it's over. I'm like, I don't know what just happened, but yes, that's for another day. But anyway, that was August. So yeah, it's August, 2022. Winning day one at championships is huge. I think I'm speaking for you right now, but you know, walking away all around champion or not isn't really going to change her path.
I agree. She did. Day one was incredible and she did great. And day two, you know, there were some hiccups, but if you watch her, like she had good sportsmanship. She kept a good attitude. She didn't let her first mistake, you know, then she went to floor and crushed it. So, and then to watch her come into the gym the next week and be like, no, like this is, I'm here to get this done. That was very cool. It tells you a lot about someone. So it was definitely mostly a good weekend. And, you know, yeah. I'm always proud of her. She works hard. She puts the work in. So,
yeah. And that's true Sarah response right there, because I called you from the airport after day one. I think it was the next morning or something. And all I said was, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And your first response was, that's all her.
It's all she does.
Always how you finish.
She does the work. She's the one that puts the leotard on and does her grips and does the work. So no one can take that away from her. You know, and we can help with routine construction and point your toes and ribs in or whatever, but ultimately she's got to do the stuff day in, day out. And that's true for all the athletes. You know, you can be the best coach in the world, but the kids have to do the work. And that's the bottom line.
So you made a comment when I asked about what that was like to have her come with you guys. And you said, I think the coach I am today. So do you feel like in your transition through not only just elite coaching, but coaching in general, do you feel like you're a much different coach now than you were, say, 10 years ago?
100%. I used to be very, everything was black and white, right? Like today you're making 5 bar routines and I'm more stubborn than you. And I don't care if it's a tough day, like you're making those 5 bar routines. And, you know, some days you just can't make 5 bar routines. And some people are going to disagree with me. Like some coaches are 100% going to disagree with me, but especially when they're younger and they're learning and they're developing and skills are new, right? They don't have skill maturity. Maybe today I need to break that skill down and build it back up and letting her fall 55 times on it because I want 5 bar routines today. That's not always the right answer. And there is a time and a place. You're training for world championships, then okay, you probably need to be able to make your bar routines every day. Not probably, you need to be able to make your bar routines every day, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But when you're a young athlete developing up the ranks, there's a time and a place for that. And so I think that I'm much better now at reading my athletes and being able to like pivot. We're still gonna work hard. We're still gonna get good gymnastics done, but maybe I need to be a little more flexible with what we're doing today or attack it from a different path. And so I've definitely grown in that way. I'm way more patient now. I used to, you know, mistakes. I used to be like, oh, it reflects directly on me and that's my fault. And like, no, nobody's falling down on purpose. Nobody's trying to, you know, people make mistakes. I make mistakes every day. You make mistakes every day. Those athletes are going to make mistakes every day. And so just learning to like be process oriented, it's okay. It's just gymnastics. It'll be fine. We'll go back in the gym and work on it. And so, yeah, I've definitely mellowed out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you said something I took as a big sign of the direction and the place that you're coming from in coaching. And you said, nobody's falling down on purpose. Right. And I think that that's so huge when it comes to the approach and the choices you make as a coach. I just interviewed Tasha Schweiker, and she was talking about how they were treated by the national staff and this and that, and told that if they, you know, if they cared, if they really cared, they would blah, 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 blah. And she's like, we're here. We care. We all care. Yeah. And that right there, just giving the athlete the benefit of the doubt, it's not even the benefit of the doubt, it's logic. They're standing there in a leotard,
ready to work. Getting like, judged, like judge me.
Yes, yeah, they care. No. But just that simple thing of assuming that every kid that is in there cares, yes, and does want to be there, then it makes it a lot easier to coach and not just strictly direct.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's such a simple thing. I had another conversation with Shira Lewis, the doctor of physical therapy, and she was talking about when the kid has a back leg bent on like a leap or a jump or something, and the coach tells them that they have a bent back leg, and the kid says, well, I don't feel it. And the coach says, well, squeeze it. And you're having this conversation, and they need different feedback than you're, yeah, telling them. They need a mirror. They need some sort of device to restrict the movement, so they can, things like that. Yeah. And I heard the same thing that I said. So the first step is realizing that kid wants to make the correction and cannot feel it. It's not that they're not trying to feel it. It's not that they don't care. Believe what, right, they're telling you. And if you get a kid who is maybe not up for the work and doesn't feel like trying, just whatever, that's not your problem either. Then that's where they're at.
Right. I think
you have to make somebody want something.
There's a lot to unpack in that. So like, number one, I think something that's really cool about our program is like, we try to have a place for everybody, right? So we have like very high level athletes all the way through to excel, which are, they love gymnastics, but they don't want to give their whole entire life and, mm-hmm, every waking hour. Right. And so we were talking the other day, and it was like, well, you know, I just wish everyone worked as hard as this kid. Well, this kid is an elite athlete. That is the top 0.2% of all people. That's a special kind of person that wants to work that hard. But the other 15-year-olds in our gym are still working harder than 99% of 15-year-olds who don't, mm-hmm, have an after-school commitment, that aren't giving 20 hours, mm-hmm, a week, that aren't putting on a leotard to go get judged. Like, they're still exceptionally hardworking kids, and then maintain straight A's and friendships and being good sisters, daughters, whatever, right? So, yep, like, in the grand scheme of life, it's really easy to lose perspective in the gym of, why aren't we doing this harder? Why aren't we working this better? Like, they're still working harder than most of their peers. They're still sacrificing more than all their peers. So that's crazy. And then also the bent back leg thing. Exactly. Nobody is like, oh yeah, I want to do bent leg cast on bars. Nobody wants to do that, right? They all want to win. They all want first place. So just, yep, that's where our drills come from. Get curious. How can I, yeah, help this kid? How can I help this kid figure that out? Because my normal path isn't working for her. And, mm-hmm, and that's the art of coaching, right? Figuring out what works for each athlete individually, while making them feel valued as humans and people and all of that outside of just gymnastics.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Ooh, that was a good one, Sarah.
Thanks.
This show is brought to you by Creatively Disruptive, the marketing team behind your team. And if you are a club owner or a gymnastics industry professional, I encourage you to join their group, the Gymnastics Business and Marketing Group. There's so much free advice straight from the pros, and you'll meet an entire community of like-minded professionals. So check out the Gymnastics Business and Marketing Group on Facebook, and check out Creatively Disruptive at creativelydisruptive.com. This episode is brought to you by TumbleTrack. TumbleTrack, train smart. You guys have heard me talk about the Porcupine Bar Pad developed by Brett Wargo, and those things are flying off the shelves. Well, if there were shelves for them to be on in the first place, but you know what I'm saying. So head over to TumbleTrack.com, TumbleTrak, and use the promo code THINK22 at TumbleTrack.com. You're not just an elite gym. You don't just have kids that are there 30 hours a week that are able to make these drills that you put online look absolutely perfect. How much are you involved with the non-elite side of coaching?
A lot, a ton. We all coach. So I coach right now, I call them level 4.5s. So I have level fours all the way through to elite. I coach them every day. They get coached equally. They get coached exactly the same as our elite kids would get coached by us. I sure was at compulsory state championships last year. So, you know, the goal is the next generation of compulsories. We have another group under us of coaches that are doing a really, really great job. So we won't have to have compulsories anymore. But we run about 60 kids through. We have three coaches and we run 60 kids through us every single night. So we are heavily involved in the optional side of the JO and a little bit of the compulsory. And then we also try during the summer, we don't do it as much. Every other Monday we do like staff education. So we do a meeting after workout and we talk about technique of round off or bar swinging or whatever it is that
I'm clapping. If you guys are wondering what that noise was, I heard you have regular meetings. It just made me so happy. Okay.
We try our best. We're busy. And in the summer we definitely fall off the wagon, but we're about to bring that back. And so that's just really important to try and keep the whole staff cohesive and on board, right? If I'm teaching a round off with this technique and Coach Toby's teaching a round off with this technique, things get messy. So we really just are trying to do that. And again, I've said it before, but like our staff is awesome. They want to learn. They want to be great. They want to do a good job. They want to do right by the kids. And so again, Brett and I have had the opportunities to learn from so many people, right? So let's pass it on. Let's just like keep sharing the knowledge. So then that's kind of how we get our hands on the lower levels as well, and the pre-team and all of that stuff and the rec.
So you had given me some videos for a lecture that I was doing for judges in August. See, August is like, I can't.
I feel that in my soul. August was sure chaos.
I'm sure you do for different but similar reasons. Yeah, it was crazy town. So, but you had given me videos of your DP. I can't, it doesn't
kind of Dev, we don't say DP anymore.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Wait, is that a thing that I missed?
Yeah.
What happened? Tell me.
Well, this is not super safe sport, but you know what DP stands for.
Yeah, that's why it's always weird to say.
Someone else figured that out at national office. And so now it's the Dev program.
When did they figure it out? Because we all figured it out 5 minutes after it was announced.
Yeah, so did my athletes. I don't know. I heard that they figured it out in April is when I learned that they had learned. And they were like, why did nobody tell us? And I was like, why did you not know? Like, I don't understand. But anyway, so it's Dev Nationals. If you like look at all the stickers and the t-shirts from Level 10 Nationals, it says Dev Nationals on it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Was there an announcement? I totally missed this.
Really you know what? I don't know. I don't know if there was an announcement or not.
Well, what's the announcement going to be? Like, oops, we dropped the ball and didn't.
Oops. We checked Urban Dictionary and we need to make a change.
That should be a rule. Anytime you name something, check the Urban Dictionary or ask a teenager. You know, probably.
Ask a teenager. Yes. If they giggle, don't do it. Don't do it.
So you, back to the question. So you had given me some videos of your Dev kids on Beam as an example of just showcasing different posture, footwork, flexibility, body line dynamics, tempo changes, blah, 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 blah. But it was really cool because I was able to show them, you know, this is, they think of your gym and they think of elite because that's obviously, you know, what the showcase typically is. So it was really cool to just show that, you know, this isn't just for elite athletes. And there were other gyms that participated in this. I had a gym from Vermont and I had a gym from Northern California. I mean, all over the place, but it was just really cool to be able to prove that it can be done, not just with that top 1% of kids. Mm-hmm. And clearly you guys are doing that.
Oh, thanks. Artistry is very important to me. I love pretty gymnastics, right? And so I could do that all day, handstands and lines and flexibility and a rhythm on beam and high toe and all that stuff. So I love it. It's my fave. If you want to make Coach Sarah happy, that's how you do it. Walk on your tippy toes. This is also not very safe sport, but I tell my kids, like, every time you step heel first on something, a puppy dies. And you better believe they never put their heels down ever again. They learn real quick. Probably that's don't work out in your podcast, but that's what I say.
Worse than don't step on a crack.
No, they don't care about that. Certain kids would do it on purpose. They'd be like, oh, really? Grind their heels into that crack.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, is there anything else that you were wanting to touch upon before we go?
No, I'm boring.
You're not boring.
Life is busy. Oh, Best Garden Gymnastics website launched yesterday.
Okay.
So that's exciting. And it's going to have like, so like on Instagram, we do really quick clips and really quick, like 1 minute things. Right. And the website's going to be a little more fleshed out. So if you want like a way more detailed in depth of why and how and what, you'll be able to find that there. And then we're going to hopefully launch a mentorship program soon on that as well. So, you know, you want to talk to someone that's been there, done that, or, you know, someone that has similar philosophies to you or something, that's going to be available soon. And then I think that's pretty much, that's all I got.
All right. I will link that in the show notes. Is there any other way that you'd like people to be able to contact you?
If you want to get me specifically, you can email me at Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at ascendgymnastics.com. You can also Instagram Ascend Gymnastics or Best Darn Gymnastics. And I think pretty much that's about it. We're going to have some cool camps and clinics coming up. We're hiring. If anybody needs a job, we're hiring. Everybody's hiring, but we're hiring. And that's, yeah, we're heading to national team camp tomorrow.
How many kids are you bringing?
Just shy of this one.
Oh, it's not juniors. Do you have juniors?
We don't. Our junior just moved. It was very sad, but this one, they just pretty much invited national team members.
Okay. So
it's a small camp. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, hope it goes well. I'm sure it will. And keep in touch. Thank you for sharing all of that information. I'm sure it was insightful for a lot of coaches out there. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Guys, thank you so much for continuing to listen. And if you could do me a favor and just rate and review the show, I'd really appreciate it. I'm trying to keep this train going. And also, I have a new email address just for you guys. So if you want to reach out to me and not on social media, you can always email at youthinkpod@gmail.com. Again, that's youthinkpod@gmail.com. And of course, let me know what you think. Until next time, keep thinking outside the box. Bye.